This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right. Looking at Chi-Town. Chi-Town interests me simply because it's a really good petri dish of the social experiment that the left loves to do. And the mayor is part of that social experiment. He calls the looters and the gang members and the hooligans and the arsonists and the racists young people who made a mistake. He obviously believes that he has a little more authority than he actually has because he has ordered ice-free zones. He brings suit to stop National Guards from defending federal buildings. He calls their deployment illegal, unconstitutional, dangerous, and wrong. Except this is the mayor of a city in a federal system. City in a state in a federal system where the military is run, all the military is run by the commander-in-chief, that being the president. So, is he defending the people or the perpetrators? Now, he would say he's defending the people, which the ones he's actually defending are the raiders and the arsonists and the looters, gang members, the hooligans. This is the new civic logic of the progressive blue hellscape. Step one, refuse to enforce the law. Step two, demonize those who want to enforce the law. Step three, play the victim when somebody else comes along and says, well, if you won't, I will. Step four, shield the lawbreakers. It is quite the little bit of a cynical choreography. Nothing just about this at all. In Chicago, when federal agents or guard troops arrive to protect federal property, Mayor Brandon Johnson races to the microphones to call them invaders. And he's not saying help us keep the peace. He's saying don't infringe on my turf. And he's rejecting assistance while he takes your money. He'll take your money all day. Yeah, he'll take federal financial assistance. But he won't take, you know, this kind of assistance from the federal government. And he's trying to do more than flex his political independence. He's sending a message that law enforcement itself is the enemy and that public safety is secondary to the ideological purity. And he's not alone. San Francisco, New York, Portland, different skylines. Same story. There, the leadership refuses to enforce the law, refuses to accept help, and refuses to acknowledge that the victims of all of this crime are just regular people who try to live by the rules. See, when you're dealing with leftists, what you're dealing with is reverses. Right now, moral categories have been reversed. In this world, a looter is now a misunderstood activist. A vandal is a victim of circumstance. A mob destroying private property becomes a peaceful protest. Police officers and the National Guard trying to preserve order, they're labeled aggressors. A man smashing windows in a Walgreens is expressing frustration. A soldier standing guard over a federal building is escalating tensions. Now, I've been saying some of this out loud, and I'm going to say it now. What's happening in these cities is remarkable simply because they don't know what they're talking about. You know, if you're looking at a soldier and he's standing guard over there and he's in the full battle rattle, I mean, he's got all kinds of other things on him besides just the things you see. The fact that you're still upright and breathing tells you right away he's not there to escalate tensions. He could escalate tensions from 0 to 100 in the blink of an eye. Then if you're talking about a squad or a fire team, which I don't know if that's 12 or 15 people nowadays, if you're talking about that and they decide to go operational and start doing a little fire maneuver, well, things are going to look really bad in downtown Chi-Town. Now, the stores have already closed and the neighborhoods are crumbling and crime rates are soaring, and the same mayors wring their hands and ask why corporations and taxpayers move. All the mom and pops, the Walgreens, the Walmarts, the Whole Foodses, they aren't fleeing communities. They're escaping the outcome, the predictable outcome, of leadership that sides with the criminals over citizens. And I love to ask this question simply because I don't know the answer. But I would really love to know, what is the end game in this, you know, in this crazy world where the enforcers are the villains and the vandals are the heroes? What's the end game? Part of it's got to be power. When law collapses, government authority becomes a matter of emotion, not principle. Although I don't know how they expect to press that government authority. Because without law and order, government authority is it's a mirage. It's not real. If you're in charge, if you're the mayor of Anarchy City, well, you're probably the mayor as long as you don't go outside. Now, they think that they'll be able to play savior and rebel and victim all at the same time. And they think if chaos reigns, they can get themselves as the only ones who understand the pain of the mob. And that is a theatrical, you know, performance there. Law enforcement can, you know, try to tamp it down. But when at a certain point, when things get out of hand, they're just out of hand. And you're not going to be able to stand up there and go the old, you know, what was his name? I can't remember his name. You're not going to be able to stand up there and go, don't worry, everything is okay. You don't have to fight no more. I'm in charge. Don't worry, I'm on your side. Yeah, you're just going to get run over. They think they can stay in power if they distrust the police by performing hostility towards law enforcement. And you're not solving an issue at all with that. You're producing content for your own political survival that is very, very, very temporary. So this means in order for this to actually start to play out and get to its end result, the city's got to burn. And if the city's got to burn, so be it, because it's all part of the narrative. It's all part of the ideology. Everybody thinks, well, progressive mayors anyway, they think that lawbreakers are products of inequity. So if you think of it that way, then arresting someone isn't protecting society. It's perpetuating oppression. Except the only oppression here is with the regular people. Because the cost of delusion isn't a theory. And the ugly truth is that the so-called progressives aren't merely failing to enforce a law. They are defending the lawbreakers as though that defense itself was an act of justice that always ends badly. When law is punished and lawlessness is rewarded, the end game is collapse. Congratulations. I think as DJ Khaled says on a regular basis, you played yourself. Now, in answer to the question, are illegal immigrants on Medicaid? I looked into this. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Most of the time when you have a shutdown, and right now the Hill is out there saying that now the Democrats have an advantage, but they don't. But you'll be hearing some of that. I'm sure that'll start making the echo chambers all over the place, and they'll be saying, oh, now that we're at this place, now the Republicans must cave. This current shutdown is not about numbers on a spreadsheet or spending caps. It comes down to one question. Should you be forced to pay Medicaid benefits for illegal immigrants? Now, the Democrats have found a way to answer yes without answering yes. The Republicans have just flatly said no. Democrats found a bunch of loopholes, right? They figured out a bunch of loopholes. And for years, states billed the federal government for Medicaid services provided for illegal immigrants, even though federal law makes them ineligible for the program. Now, we talked about the whole parole thing. Everybody's been paroled. Now, parolee qualifies for Medicaid for a year, or Medicare, whatever it is, right? But these pipelines are being cut off, and the law forced states to fund these services on their own. But the Democrats want this reversed, and their refusal to compromise this has kept the government shut, which, you know, they're in the minority. I don't know exactly what it is they expect to have happen. California is a good example. In 2023, state budgeted $3.9 billion for health care for illegal immigrants through its Medicaid program. Because Washington reimburses 60-70% of all qualifying Medicaid expenses, federal taxpayers ended up paying for this, for most of it, the vast majority. Same year, they raised their provider fees on hospitals and nursing homes, by more than triple. Those taxes were immediately returned to the providers in the form of a higher reimbursement, creating the appearance of billions in new Medicaid spending. And in reality, they spent nothing. But on paper, it qualified for billions in federal matching funds, which then redirected to cover illegal immigrants. New York followed the same path. In 2024, they approved $2.4 billion to provide full Medicaid coverage to illegal immigrants under the age of 65. Illinois has one, right? They offer it to benefits to non-citizens over 42. All funded through the same federal reimbursement structure, which means taxpayers in every state, whether or not they support these policies, are paying the bill. So that means you're paying the bill. Now, according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, at least 5 million people who are not eligible remain enrolled in Medicaid rolls nationwide. Improper Medicaid payments, which we can't afford, covering everything from duplicate enrollments to ineligible individuals, cost us about $30 billion annually. Over the past decade, total improper payments have exceeded $1.1 trillion. A Wall Street Journal review found that between 2019 and 2021 alone, insurers collected at least $4.3 billion in duplicate payments for individuals enrolled in multiple states at the same time. Much of the problem stems from the way states manage Medicaid enrollment. And while federal law requires states to conduct regular eligibility checks, there's no enforcement. In many cases, you know, people move out of state, they gain new employment, or they no longer met income requirements. They stay on the rolls for years anyway. It just happens. It's just out there. It's just allowed to drift. Audits have also shown that states sometimes lack the data sharing system needed to prevent people from receiving benefits in more than one state simultaneously, which it seems like they could probably do an upgrade on the software if they quit paying for all these people that don't get to be paid. The Big Beautiful Bill attempted to fix these abuses by requiring strict enrollment integrity standards and preventing states from disguising Medicaid funds to use on illegal immigrants. So we come now to the point where, once again, I have to tell you that I really am glad I'm not in charge of anything, because right now, if they would not allow me to send National Guard in there to take care of federal facilities, or if they would simply be ripping off the American taxpayer so they can do things within their own little blue hellscape fife, I would be cutting off all federal funding going to them. Not in the sense of going through the things and all the appropriations and, you know, going through Congress. I would do it in the same way your airway would be constricted if somebody started to garrote you. I would cut it off clean. And I'd let them gasp for a moment. Democrats are trying to say this is defensive health care, but their position is a lot narrower than they claim. And it's not about whether Medicaid should exist, but whether it should continue to subsidize health care for illegal immigrants. And they're not going to pass a budget without reversing the law. And this demonstrates the access to those benefits is their line in the sand. Does anybody believe that owing $37 trillion is a national emergency? Does anybody believe that spending $2 trillion more per year than you take in when you're only taking in $5 trillion? Does anybody think that that's a national emergency? Right now, this program consumes $800 billion annually. That's 15% of federal spending. Tightening eligibility is a basic step towards solvency. But see, they're not interested in anything that sane at all. No, they're just not. Allowing billions to be siphoned into benefits for non-citizens, that's what they're interested in. Shutdowns are disruptive and costly and politically damaging for both parties, although I don't see where the Republicans are getting damaged. But allowing Medicaid to remain a backdoor for the illegals is even more damaging in the long term. And the Democrats prioritize coverage for illegal immigrants over keeping the government open. That tells you all you need to know about the Democrats. Okay, so got a text. Interesting question it poses. Bill, I have a serious question. These illegals that go and, say, rape a child, why not are they only deported, or are they being forced to have to pay for this crime as well because of they're just being deported? How is that fair? Well, it comes down to this. Would you rather have them here in the United States on the dole, basically? They'd be on the dole wherever they're being housed. If they're in a federal prison, they'd be on the federal dole. And we would be funding them to make sure that they are, you know, because they get the three hots and a cot and what, you know, whatever their daily allocation of orange coveralls are. Or do you want them gone? Now, in my world, they just stay here and be incarcerated. Because if they just get gone, they could come back. That's my thing. But I think when I look at it, I think the last figure I saw was about 70% of all people in federal prison today are illegal. And we're paying for that. We are paying for that. Now, this whole shutdown, it's not a shutdown. This is their attempt to do a shakedown. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do any of you sit around and have the flashlight come on your smartphone and wonder how come it's called a smartphone when you didn't ask the flashlight to come on? That's just one of my musings that go across my desk every day. Some are calling this the Schumer shutdown, but it isn't. This is a shakedown. Schumer, whose name sounds like something you don't want to step in, speaking on MSNBC, stated that the idea that Democrats shut down the government to give illegal aliens health care is a total, absolute, effing lie. Well, you haven't been paying attention there, Schumer, because California Democrat Ro Khanna stated on Mornings with Maria that the amount of money that's actually going towards people who are undocumented, it's such a small portion of Medicaid cuts or the Affordable Care Act. So one of you's lying, right? Which one is it? Now, according to Majority Leader and Bernie Bro survivor Steve Scalise, he says it's $200 billion for 1.4 million illegal aliens. Now, unfortunately, $200 billion is not a lot of money for these ruthless, money-laundering, lawfare-exploiting, tax-robbing politicians to spend on non-American citizens. But you and I think it's a lot of money. And the Democrats think it's not a lot of money when you compare it to the $1.5 trillion that they want to spend, which that is true. This is the reason they have shut down the government. They're trying to reclaim finances for their pet projects, like storing 2.3 million ineligible recipients to Medicaid, funding NPR and PBS. I mean, I know some of you miss PBS, right? I know I do. Wait a minute, I don't even listen to it. I don't even have TV. Forget that. Now, the narrative that Republicans want to end health care for millions of Americans is false. False. This is has nothing to do with anybody who's an American citizen. These are all ineligible recipients to receive health care on your dime. And this is why Trump calls them the radical left lunatics. This is a $1.5 trillion wish list that they want, and they want to tack it onto a four-week funding bill while they take vacations continuing to receive their paycheck. Putting Democrats in charge of taxpayer dollars is like plucking a bunch of people off the streets of Portland, dropping them in Afghanistan, and saying, guard these poppy fields. What do they think those guys are going to do? Well, they're going to be setting up their labs and, you know, straight-lining. They're going to enjoy, they're going to have a big time. Democrats have become the spend and tax party, and they squeal and gorge themselves, and they keep wanting more. Then you have Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem stated that the cuts to wasteful healthcare spending are immoral. Which, coming from Hakeem, that's laughable. It's surprising that Mr. Jeffries knows the word. This is a guy who supports killing babies, who supports same-sexes to marry, who supports allowing perverted dress-wearing men to enter ladies' locker rooms and participate in women's sports, and who supports maiming children in sex change operations, and he's saying trying to not spend money where it shouldn't be spent is immoral. He has drifted way out there now. And he shouldn't be giving any sort of sermon on morality or ethics. He can pronounce it, but he doesn't know what it means. So, do you think Hakeem Jeffries and Upchuck Schumer have looked into a box that they see filled with taxpayer money? Do you think AOC looks into that box? Democrats in the Senate are responsible for Schumer shutdown, the shakedown rather, by not passing the continuing resolution on a Biden-era budget, which would have allowed the government to remain open while they sort out differences. And there's going to be some federal workers that don't receive paychecks until this is resolved, and yet all members of Congress continue to receive their paychecks because they passed a law to make sure that they get paid because, you know, they're so important. We can't live without them. Mike Johnson sent out a memo titled Debunking the Democrats' Shutdown Delusion. He states the government funding is being held hostage by Democrats who want an extension of COVID-19 pandemic era Obamacare subsidies. You realize that the Biden administration ended the emergency declaration concerning that whole COVID-19 pandemic, May 11th, 2023. You get that, right? They want $500 million in taxpayer funding to prop up liberal news outlets, as they call them. I just call them leftist, wastes. They want a $50 billion cut in investments for improving rural health care, and they won't want to restore billions in funding for DEI and climate projects in foreign countries. Sure, I'm sure you're concerned about what's going on all over the world, right? What do you think? This particular disruption is entirely avoidable. The Democrats alone, they're the ones to blame for using federal workers as pawns. And the congressman points to the fact that the current proposed CR is the same short-term funding extension that virtually all Democrats voted to pass 13 times during the Biden administration. He also said that by voting to block the CR, they are on record for blocking a program allowing low-income and Medicare patients to be treated at home rather than in a hospital. He also states, Democrats say they will not write a blank check to Trump's administration And that's a blatant Democrat lie, because the continuing resolution is short term. And this isn't about more money. It's about authority to use and spend that money. That money's sitting there. They don't have to write a check for nothing. Now, they do want you to write a check for $1.5 trillion, though. Senator John Kennedy got out there and he said they were wanting $4.2 million for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex people in the Western Balkans and Uganda. $3.6 million for pastry cooking classes and dance focus groups for male prostitutes in Haiti. $6 million for media organizations for the Palestinians. $3 million for circumcisions and vasectomies in Zambia. I had not heard about the vasectomy and circumcision crisis going on in Zambia. I don't know why I hadn't heard about that. These things that they want to spend your money on are at their very best dim-witted. But it's, you know, I guess that this is on automatic pilot, because normally I guess this money would have gone on to USAID, and then that money would have gone to the NGOs, and then, you know, then they would have sent some money, because I wouldn't you think that the going rate for a circumcision or a vasectomy in Zambia is a little different due to the exchange rate than it is here? And then this would have shown up with some of these politicians. That's why they want it. But this is not the Schumer shutdown. This is the Schumer shakedown. Do you want to know how republics fall? I'll remind you. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Republic's ending, you know. A republic and a people who could not keep it. From Philip II of Macedonia ending Greek freedom to Julius Caesar and the Roman Republic to Napoleon Bonaparte and the French Revolution. It's always, popularly they want to say, it's always one guy that does this. I mean, it's a very popular way to go. They do this in the movies. It's so popular. But did Caesar truly end the Republic, or was the Republic already a corrupt morass before he ever crossed that particular Rubicon? And you got to look at Rome in the late 2nd and early 1st century. And by then, the Republic stood at its height. Carthage had been defeated in the 2nd and 3rd Punic War. Greece subdued in the Macedonian Wars. Asia opened after Magnesia. Rome had become a three-continent superpower. But the problem was they couldn't handle the success. The success brought distortion and chaos. Hundreds of thousands, or maybe even millions of slaves were imported into Italy by the wealthy, they had a devastating economic effect on ordinary Romans. Slaves were taking many of the lower-level jobs in Italy. Citizen Roman farmers were displaced by enormous slave groups, which was the ancient world equivalent to industrial farming. And this was not farmed by the peasant Roman citizens, but by slaves. And the wealthy landowners, the optimates, accumulated estates, and citizen farmers slid into destitution. In a lot of cases, the household slaves of the wealthiest Roman citizen had a better living condition than the poor Roman citizens. But then, you had two brothers that wanted to change this. And we're talking about Tiberius and Gaius Gracchus, known as the Gracchi brothers. Both were killed. Political murder when their efforts threatened the ruling class. And in short, the Roman Republic was not healthy when Caesar was born in 100 BC. Even during that time, in the old world, of course, rival power blocks, weaponized courts and proscriptions and mobs, elections were manipulated, intimidation and patronage corrupted public life, emergency measures were a habit. See the parallel here? This is the world, the political world, that Caesar entered. A governing elite, comfortable bending rules, importing waves of cheap labor, and offloading the costs onto the working citizen. So in this light, the claim that Caesar killed the Republic is a lie. The optimates had hollowed out the Republican norms, rigging contests, assassinating opponents, treating citizens as expendable. What does that sound like? Caesar was not the cause, so much as the consequence, a populist system-breaking response to elite corruption. And it's no surprise that many of his fiercest aristocratic opponents, Cato, Vitalis Scipio, and later assassins Brutus Cassius, they cried the ancient equivalent of our democracy, even as their own faction spent decades shredding it. So, we shouldn't be looking for a modern Caesar, but this is a reminder that one person doesn't destroy a republic. Republics become corrupt. They die because the class entrusted to steward them grows corrupt, which we have done. We have sat back and allowed them way too much leeway, way too many latitudes. Caesar could never have amassed his leverage if the optimates had not spent generations sawing through the legs of the constitutional order. So blaming him alone, well, he was the one that burned it down. Now, Trump is trying to, he's sort of a mix of Caesar and the Gracchi brothers and Augustus. And like Caesar, he's addressing the corruption of the elite. And unlike Caesar, he has no serious ambitions of becoming emperor or establishing or abolishing the Constitution. He does troll his opponents, though, with Trump 2028. The American Republic can be saved if reform beats decay. But if the reformers fall, while the ruling class continues their corrupt practice, then we would go the way of Caesar. It's very easy to point, to blame the guy who's pointing out the rot. And the people who bring down a republic rarely admit their role. They always point at the whistleblower. And we're not yet a rotting corpse, but we're on life support and put there by the same sort who are crying about our democracy whenever their conduct is challenged. So you have to decide which role you're going to play in this. Are you going to be a Charlie Kirk? Right? Are you going to accept Jesus Christ? Are you going to be an activist? Are you going to volunteer? The fate of the American Republic is not in any single leader's hands. It's in yours. You should remember that. It works every time. Every time grassroots gets out there and gets active, it works. Ask Gary Collins on the county council. That guy went out there and knocked on 12,000 doors. You don't get any more grassroots than that. He should have won just on the miles accumulated. And he won anyway. So, as a matter of fact, he won big. He went up against a 20-some-odd year incumbent and won 80-20%. When it comes down to grassroots, you can't beat an election turnout. That's very hard to beat. Right now, you see a lot of people trying to weaponize the truth. What exactly? How does this work? How should this work? This is News Talk, 98.9 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.